What's up, everyone? It's Ray Garvin, host of the Destination Devi podcast. If you're waiting until after the NFL season to start your college scouting process, you're already behind the eight ball. There are hundreds of college football games on each and every Saturday, far too many to keep up with, along with following your favorite NFL teams. But don't worry, this show is designed for not only you hardcore Devi leaguers, but those of you who want to learn about the next group of potential NFL stars and get a leg up in your traditional dynasty leagues. We don't just talk about the big name college football guys. We hit on the small school value prospects who also have a shot to make it to the next level. If you want to position your dynasty team for short and long-term success, make sure you check out the DDP on DLF and all the other amazing shows DLF has to offer.
Yeah. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict. And I need it in my veins, I'm an addict. Otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
And I am Andrew Hall, and I definitely have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 154 of the Trade Addicts podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And we just did. We are here. It is April. It is, I think it's draft month, right? That's happening in April, because I was about to get excited and then realize I don't know if I'm right, but everyone's nodding their head. So it's draft month, baby. We're almost there. I was just complaining before we actually started at how annoying it is that A, we're in like this hold pattern where everyone wants to wait for the draft, or draft picks are like impossible to buy, but for some reason, sometimes also impossible to sell. And I'm ready. I'm ready to get this moving. I'm right. We missed out on the combine. Pro days were, they were good. Like there was, I don't know if it's just because it was pro days and no combine, but everyone did great. Like, I feel like there was so few people that were like, he just, if he did like two more reps on the bench press, he'd be like, there was none of that this year. It was all just like, oh, this dude ran 4.2. That guy ran 4.2. That guy only ran 4.35, guys. I might have to push him down my ranks.
Like, I think a lot of that was because it was pro days.
Yeah, it's either that or just superhumans, and we have to stop thinking about 4.4 40s anymore, which might be the case because these people may not be human that play in the NFL. Just body and physicality and athletically wise, I feel like humans shouldn't do what they do and then withstand the punishment their bodies take, but that's not this podcast. We had news. I love when we have news, but I'm getting too far ahead of myself. Andrew is a first timer, and when we have a first timer, we do our interview. So, but before we get into the interview, Andrew, tell the people who you are and what you do, where they can find you, and all those other fun things about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm Andrew Hall. I'm Andrew Hall FF on Twitter. I've been writing for Pro Football Network this will be my third season coming up. I'm actually just starting with Fantasy Pros this month. I've got a couple articles coming out next week that should be fun. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I love the GIF game. I always love a good back and forth debate. And I love polls. I love trade stuff. Anytime you got questions, just shoot me a DM. I love that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing these days.
Awesome. And by the way, if you hear a child screaming in the background, that is Rocky's going nuts on Fortnite. And he was about to tell him to stop, to like be quiet. I'm like, no. Child-friendly podcast, especially if we start hearing some swears going nuts, because, I mean, you're playing Fortnite. That's kind of what you have to do, right?
He better not be swearing.
Oh, Iron Fist Rocky. Okay. All right.
This one's only 10. Maybe one of the older ones I'd let him go. But
Oh man, my 7 year old already knows how to throw him around. Both of my kids have TVs that have Rokus on them in their rooms. They're five. Well, they're pretty much 6 and 8 just because of this year they changed. But Rokus don't have YouTube Kids. They just have YouTube, which means we just kind of let them do whatever they're going to do. And my son is into a lot of video games and a lot of these mods of video games, which means these people that play them, they're of the older variety and they are of the non-censored variety a lot of the time as well. So yeah, he's not only has he learned the words, he's learned context. So he throws them around and he throws them around well.
My kids have certainly learned the words in context from me, let alone YouTube. So, but they're smart enough not to say it around me 99% of the time. So
it's funny because like my son, he has, we'll just say he doesn't have the ability to control what he says most of the time. You know, his mouth moves faster than his brain. Like, so he'll just drop it and just be like, I'll be like, you used it right. Just not out of the house, buddy. and not towards an adult. And that's fine. But yeah, completely sidetracked. Let's go back to, hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Hey, doing great still.
Okay, so how long have you been playing fantasy football?
So I've been playing fantasy football for 18 years. I've obviously focused on redraft like everybody, but I would say I've been playing fantasy football well for about 8 years.
Oh, that's not first, important.
Well, the
I don't
first
think
few
I've been
years,
playing well ever. So.
Well, that's true. But no, I'm saying like for the first few
Wait,
years.
Wait, you really just agree with me?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Totally kidding, Russ. Come on. I'm saying I haven't, that's for sure. But I'm saying for the first few years, I didn't care at all. I wasn't paying attention. I'd draft a team. I was that guy in your league that you hated playing with, where I'd draft a team and then never check the message board and like never set a lineup for like the first few years because they just needed a guy. So after a few years, I was like, maybe I should pay attention to this. But no, I've been playing redraft and keeper leagues for, you know, like I said, 18 years. I've been in Dynasty for 3 years now, almost 4 years. This will be my fourth season for some of my leagues. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely addictive. Once you get into Dynasty, it kind of takes a whole different tone where you're like, ah, all right, now I got to pay attention year round. I got to, you know, put some effort in. I can't be that slacker. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't work anymore, but it's actually worked out perfect for me because right as I was getting interested is when I hit Dynasty. And I just feel like that's when everybody sort of joined Dynasty about 4 years ago.
Yep.
That's what it feels like. And it was like a big uptick in the whole industry. So it was nice to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's funny when you have, usually the people that have been playing as long as you have, it's that 2014, 2015 era where it's like, I want Odell on my team all the time. you actually held out a little longer, but yeah, they're around that.
I did.
I think I came in around I did one rookie draft of 2015 because I started the 2016 season. So, I mean, that's pretty much the same thing, right? 2016, 2017, all around there. So yeah, you're right. And I don't care. I don't remember when you came in, Rocky, but I'm not going to ask you.
Actually, 2015.
I said I wasn't going to ask you. I don't care. That's already well, like
you're going to get the answer anyway.
You're not listening to me. This is not starting out the way it's supposed to start. Then maybe we should just start over, or maybe I'll just do this. I was about to say maybe I'll do this a solo show. I do not want to do that. it would be bad. It would not be good. And
I'll head out on you this time.
That's cool, man. I will. If it comes down to that, I will edit until I get someone else to come on the show with me. I have that power.
There you go.
All right. But Andrew, what are some of the best and worst trades you've made in your 3 to 4 years in Dynasty?
Well, so yeah, the first year I played Dynasty, it was just I was an auction startup and I've never done auction before. So I was one of those guys that I saw AJ Green going for what I thought was a steal and ended up buying him. And I was like, oh no, what have I done? And I overspent and was scrubs and duds the first year. And then the next year in 2019, I ended up going worst to first and winning the league because I just traded my way out of it. And so I think a lot of the trades that, and I think I've heard you mention this too, Russ, a lot of the times with trading, it's almost like you have to forget immediately after you make the trade. You do what you got to do. You get the value and then you immediately forget about that and move on to the next one. And the only way you
Never
can really,
back.
Yeah, the only way you can fix a bad trade is by making another trade. So mm-hmm. There were a lot of those bad trades I made in my first year. The one that I will always remember is my worst trade. And I'm not even sure it's the worst I've ever made, but it's the one that I feel like is the worst. It hurt the most. In 2018, I sent Baker Mayfield the day after he started, the day after he played on that Thursday Night Football, I sent Baker Mayfield. It's a one quarterback league, home league, half PPR. But I sent Baker Mayfield, Philip Lindsay in his breakout year. I'm like, there's no way he continues that. And I think it ended up being the 204 for Jordan Howard.
So I mean, think about it though. Like
looking back, that sucks. But at the time, it worked. You know what I mean? Like at the time,
you had a couple of seasons of not terrible points out of Jordan Howard at that point.
But Lindsey was the better asset, straight up. Rid of Leafield, and like I was just that hurt. So yeah, that was my first year. And after, I think that trade was the one that kind of slapped me in the face. I'm like, I got to do better. Like this is not working for me. And even later on, the buddy I traded with, he's like, I would have done it without the pick. Like you sent it to me with the second, I would have taken just the two players. I'm like, damn it. You know what I mean? Like I just was too far. So that's not my worst, but it's the one that sticks in my head. But my best trade to kind of recover from that, totally different league. But in 2020, I traded away Kenyon Drake and Logan Thomas. And this was in week 9. So it was like mid season. I traded away Kenyon Drake and Logan Thomas on a rebuilding team for Cam Akers and Paris Campbell. And that was right before Cam Akers blew up. So, and Paris Campbell still hasn't really done much, but I think he's a better bench asset anyway. But I was like, I got Akers. That's my first and only share of Cam Akers. And it was like the next week he started taking off and I was like, there we go. Now we're making money. So yeah, that was probably my favorite one.
Yeah. Zach Reed has just hammered into my head that Paris Campbell is good and will be a thing. And I'm holding on to it.
He will be a thing. Yes.
He will be a thing. He will be a thing. Now that there's an actual quarterback there, maybe he'll play for more than a game and a half before getting injured and missing the season. And
I feel like he's like just one of those guys that everybody in the dynasty community just keeps thinking will be a thing and will never be a thing. But
Andy Isabella, right? You know, one of those
Josh Rosen. People still talk about Josh Rosen.
Because he keeps going to the right situations. I mean, it's just like, okay, so he's behind Tom Brady? Like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Like,
how can he not succeed? Yeah. And then he does it somehow. He doesn't succeed. And, you're like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I have accepted that Josh Rosen won't be a thing. I'm not there on Paris Campbell yet. I still think Paris Campbell's going to be a thing. I'm ready to wait.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm still in. Okay. So what is, Andrew, what is a guiding principle you take with you whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
Sure. So I think the easiest way, and I know others have talked about this, but it has to make sense for both sides. So if I'm in an actual honest to God wanting to get a trade done kind of mood, then I look at their roster. I see where they have weak spots. I see if I can offer them something. I try to make it so that it's palatable. Maybe they don't have any depth and that's what I'm looking for, you know, so it doesn't line up, but we can come to something. So generally speaking, I like to look at that side. And then the other angle I take is I try to get fair value. And obviously everybody likes winning a trade and getting more value. So I usually look at it during the non-point scoring season, as we call it here. I tried to trade for value and try to get value. But during the season, I have no problem giving up value and just getting my guy or getting a roster spot. I need to get a wide receiver 3 or I need to get a flex. I don't care about value anymore. It's week 8. I need the win. You know, we're in point scoring. I got to score points. So it's kind of, it depends on the time of year. I always like to say too, that a lot of my trades have to do with ceiling and floor, right? Like how much risk do I have on my roster? If I've got, you know, a roster of 30 players and 20 of them all have risk, I don't need more risk. I'm not taking Deshaun Watson, right? I'm not taking Ezekiel Elliott. Like those players, I just don't know where they're going. And so that's another thing, is it's kind of a holistic approach to my team. So there's a whole bunch of different things that kind of factor into a trade. But if I'm really like in a rebuild, full on, you know, dead last in the league, give me all the risk, right? Like give me all of them. Let's see what happens. But if I'm a contender and looking to maybe get something done and need just one win to get over the hump, I don't mind trading away those risky guys for some, you know, Julio Jones or something, you know, like he's going to die on my roster, but he'll score me points until he does. So there's a whole bunch of those things that kind of factor in, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely makes sense. And again, until I can find a way to make having the prettiest roster be deciding of the championship, I guess you got to score points to get it. So
yeah, roster baiting in it. Yeah, roster baiting in it. There's no points in that, unfortunately.
It will be eventually. There will be. I'm going to figure it out one day. When I'm not creating more leagues or any of that crap, right. Like
Trade Addicts 10.
Why pretty the hell did I start a 48 team league? Oh my god!
Like, I don't know get me what wrong. You were thinking there.
I'm thrilled with this Harry Potter league. It's so much like the idea of it is nothing I've ever seen before. Like I've never really seen a dynasty league where your division is kind of like your teammates.
Right.
So, and there's like house points where winning and losing against other houses get you points, like in the Harry Potter movies and books. And it's like, honestly, like I had this idea and I'm like, All right. There's no way I'm the first person to come up with this. Clearly this has happened before, but I literally have never seen it. Like, I've never, like, you know, when I came out with my outline, I posted the picture because I screenshot it from Google Docs. And I'm like, I'm making this league. Anyone else interested in ever, you know, like, I've never seen anyone else throw something else out like that. But like, it's 48 damn teams and there's like rules and things and custom schedules. And why did I do this? Why do I do this to myself? I don't have
a glutton for punishment. You just like to, you just like the fun of the league, not the running it, but it'll be fun eventually. It has to be.
Okay. Well, at least on this one, like I was able to make a Google sheet where all I have to do is copy and paste scores and it'll do all of it for me. So, like, if I had to do that all manually, like, if I wasn't good in Excel, there, I probably wouldn't have done this. But I knew in the end I'd be able to just make some of it work on its own. But still, that is not going to be easy. And I don't know. I care and I don't care. Like, right now that my job is not super time-consuming and I can still do it during the day, I don't care. But I know in the near future it's going to get awful and then I'm going to be really pissed off at myself for deciding to do this.
Yep. Or week to week. Yeah, the maintenance is going to be brutal. In week 8, you're busy with everything else and you got to do that. Yep. I hear you.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I blame Rocky for it.
That sounds fair.
That's pretty much par for the course.
Yep. Got it. That's why I have a co-host. When they say something right, yep, no, that's both of us. We did so good. I do something wrong. Man, my co-host is awful, guys.
Makes sense.
All right, so let's move on. We have news. I love when news happens before we record. It makes me so happy because I feel like we had a rash of things happening on Tuesday morning. It's just like, I haven't edited yet, but it's not like we're going to go back and start recording again on a Tuesday afternoon so we could throw it in. No, I'm far too lazy for that. But today, this afternoon, Monday, April 5th, Sam Darnold actually finally got traded to the Panthers.
Huge.
Now, yes, and they exercised his fifth-year option, which is not this coming year, but the year after, which means he's their quarterback. Like, this isn't like they're not bringing him in to compete.
Doesn't feel like it. Yeah, I agree.
Assuming rational GMing, that's always the asterisk at the end of all of this. it was super cheap. I think it was like a sixth this year and a fourth next year, something weird like that.
And a second next year.
Second, yeah.
Oh, was it a second next year? I was close. That's a little better. That's still kind of cheap, but I love this. I'm so happy about this. I've wanted Darnold out of, well, I guess I wanted Darnold away from Gase, but now that they have the second pick, right? And we assume they're taking a quarterback, and that would mean Darnold would have just kind of been screwed. I love that he finally got moved, and I love that he got moved back to Robbie Anderson, because when them two were healthy on the Jets, they did really freaking well together. Like, Robbie was putting up 10 for 120 in a touchdown. Like, that's what Robbie Anderson was when Sam Darnold was healthy. And I'm super sad I turned down, I think it was like a 112 for Sam Darnold, like, last week. Because I didn't, like, honestly, I didn't think they would get anything done. Because especially any team in the top 10, I figured it would be a game of chicken to the end. Like, Darnold may have gotten dealt on draft day if he was lucky. Because the Panthers, I know mock drafts mean absolutely nothing, but like now, name, Justin Fields is dropping to like 12. Like, I mean, they're getting a little ridiculous, but like these quarterbacks are kind of falling a little bit. And again, while that has nothing to do with what the real NFL thinks, the Panthers were what, 8? Like, seems like, there's 5 quarterbacks. They're probably going to go in the top 10. Like, I didn't really expect them to make this move. But I think it's awesome. I love the move. I love that Darnold is going from Adam frickin' Gase to Joe frickin' Brady. And that's going, you know, be good for him with actual wide receivers on the team. And I don't know how their offensive line is, but Christian frickin' McCaffrey instead of Frank Gore. Sorry, Frank Gore. I know you're awesome. You're the immortal. I apologize for saying bad things about you, but like, I mean, let's be honest. You could admit to yourself you're not what you were 16 years ago.
No, not at all. And I just want to jump in. I think there is a lot to be happy about here. I think that this helps everybody, right? This clears the field for whoever the Jets drafted to be their starter day one, which is good for fantasy. it kind of clears the path for Darnold to be the starter. As far as we know, I don't think there's going to be real competition there with him and Bridgewater, so that any of your Darnold shares are helped with this. And then honestly, this also means, at least it could mean, Bridgewater gets dealt next, right? Maybe Bridgewater gets released by the Panthers and goes somewhere in a trade to somewhere else. So maybe, I've heard Denver, which I don't think makes any sense, but there's still a couple of teams out there that are looking for something. I mean, maybe he goes to New England to back up Cam Newton, because who knows how long Cam's got, or he goes to Tampa to back up Brady. I mean, there's a couple of these options where there's like Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger, right? There's a couple of these places that
Is there. He's got that covered.
You're right. Yep. He's there, but I'm still saying Bridgewater is better. And I think that's a possible thing for where that could go to like give his value a boost, right? Because in all of it really is just perceived value. At this point, too, in fantasy, all we do is we latch on the latest news and then go, oh, that guy's he's the guy now. You know, Darnold worth 102 now. Like, it's going to be expensive to get Darnold from me now. Like, no, it's not. Like, give it a week and that'll fade. But I still love that when the news breaks, that's when I any league that I have Darnold in, I sent trades out today. I'm like, here, take Darnold for this just to see what I can get. Like, just to start the talks.
No. Let's get specific here. What were some offers that you were sending out?
All right. So there was there's my home league where there is this guy that has Jonathan Taylor and he will not budge. He just will not give him up. So I made a package that was like Darnold, Dalvin Cook, and Jalen Reagor for Taylor and two scrubs, pretty much, like just to try to get, like, and he wouldn't do it. I'm like, you got it. Like, he has Tua as his quarterback and Gardner Minshew or something. Like, he doesn't have, he needs a backup quarterback, and Darnold's better than nothing. And Cook and Taylor are pretty close. So, like, I'm helping you out. Rager's not a, I mean, Rager's a starter. He's a flex at least. You know what I mean? Especially on this guy's team. He's like, not his wide receiver one is Parker. So it's like one of those things where I thought for sure he would say yes to that, and no. And I'm like, I'm sending you Cook. You're not downgrading that far. But he declined it, right? So then the trade that I have out for him right now, which I think is pretty funny, is Darnold for Antonio Gandy-Golden and the 304. I'm like, that's significantly lower. But which of that side would you guys take? Darnold in a one quarterback league, Darnold, or Antonio Gandy-Golden and the 304?
I'm taking Darnold.
Yeah, well, I mean that's basically my mental reaction. Yeah, but
yeah, I'm just trying to get this guy interested so maybe he'll trade me Taylor next, right? That's the idea. Like, okay, fine, we'll take the big guys out, let's just do some little players here. I figured that's an easy Darnold. Like, anybody, yeah, I think would take Darnold. And Gandy Golden, who knows what the hell he's going to be? And I think he has a potential with Fitzpatrick. And the 304, who knows what that's going to be, right? Like, that's especially a very unlikely QB. Yeah, and one QB, I mean, like, this isn't it, but it's still sitting there. He's not rejected, but yeah.
I feel like if I got that offer, it doesn't matter which side I had, I probably would have just accepted it.
Like, well, that was my goal.
Let's do a trade.
Just be like, hey, let's do this. It's just Darnold. He just got the news. He's got the job, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, there was another in that same league. I sent another owner. I just sent Darnold for Connor, right? This guy's got a couple of those running backs in that RB2 range, and his quarterbacks are Baker Mayfield and pretty much nobody else. And I'm like, you know, again, backup quarterback for Connor, who's not even on a team. And at this point in the offseason, if you're not on a team, that's not a good sign. You know, like, if you don't have somebody now, it's like Connor could find a spot, but there aren't that many left. So I'm like, I'll take Connor off your hands. I'll give you a backup quarterback. We'll call it a day. And I haven't heard on that one yet either. But it's like, I just have a feeling some of these trades are not really going to land because people are kind of like, I'll wait. Like, what's the urgency? I'm like, I just want to sell Darnold at this point. Get him off my team.
All right, Rocky. Okay, so let's make the jump to Superflex. Are you paying? Let's start with sending out. Are you okay sending out the 112 for Sam Darnold?
I don't think I am. I think he's worth that. His stock's up now. You got to pay a first for him. He's a starter, like you said. He looks like he's a starter for 2 years. But I'm also trying not to fall into the Drew Lock syndrome I fell into last year. Because I'm not convinced that Sam Darnold is all that good. He's shown flashes, but and Adam Gase and all that. But I think I want to see it before I buy Darnold. If I have him, I may try and sell him if I can get somebody to overpay, which I don't think I can. I'm not really trying to buy him, really, though, because, yeah, I love the Joe Brady thing, you know, the Adam Gase to Joe Brady thing. I love the weapons. But I loved a lot of that kind of stuff for Drew Lock and actually for Teddy Bridgewater last year. I was way higher on Teddy Bridgewater than a lot of people.
Same.
Andrew actually, I remember this. He was on Junkies, and
our bold predictions episode, I said Teddy Bridgewater was going to be a top 10 quarterback.
I remember that. That was fun.
Yeah. So I was way higher on him for a lot of the same reasons. We all have to be high on Darnold right now. And not to mention that 8 pick could now be Pitts. So that'll make his stock go up even more if that happens.
Well, I think, I mean, again, with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, I feel like Darnold's in a pretty good spot. I do think, the longer I think about it, I feel like if I had Darnold, I don't know if I move him for 112, right? If I have Darnold, I think I want more than that. If I have the 112, I'd probably be fine sending it for Darnold, though, right? Like, that's the same size. It's like, I still think I prefer Darnold to the 112 and all of those in Superflex. I mean, I guess it depends on your league, and if you have a lot of, you know, sharp people that play this every year and are really active and all this, like, you know, maybe you could get away with getting a little more than that, but I think that's about fair.
I guess what it comes down to me is Darnold is more of a hole just because, like I said, I don't want to overweight the surrounding options, the offensive coordinator, all that. I want to see him actually do it. So I'm probably not paying the 112, but I'm probably not selling for the 112 either. If someone gives me more than that, I'd be willing to cash out on him. But I think it would have to be a little more than fair for me to do that.
All right, Andrew, would you trade in a super flex league Sam Darnold and Aaron Jones for Tua?
I would not, no. I think I'd hold Darnold and Jones. I like Aaron Jones. I'm one of the few people maybe left that's still high on him. So, I don't know.
For the record, maybe, Russ, I would not.
I was going to guess.
You. I'm not asking you, Rocky.
maybe I misread where you were going with that.
Then. No, you absolutely were. This is Trey Addict's one. But I was hoping he'd agree with me so I could use it against you, and it didn't work.
I was just trying to make it fast. But I like it. And of course, I think Jones is another one of those risky assets too. That there's a lot of people selling Jones because they just don't. They think Dylan's, you know, nipping at his heels, or that he's not going to be the guy. And I'm like, no, they told us he's the guy.
I like Jones even more now with Jamal Williams gone. He's going to get the passing work.
Same here.
Dylan doesn't worry me one bit.
Same here. Yep. I just think there's a lot of people on Twitter that were Dylan truthers, and they're not giving up that. They're like, no, I'm not changing my take. It's Dylan, and Jones is dead to me. And I think that's what I love about this, too, is that there is no proof either way, right? It's entirely speculative. And I think that's what makes this so much fun, is that somebody can value somebody so differently than you. And you're like, well, great, I'll exploit that. And what I think is exploiting that. And I'll trade for your Aaron Jones for what I think is good value. But you get my AJ Dillon, what you think is great value. And we both walk away happy. That's what I love about this game that we play, is that there's so many variations on how to win a trade, or how you feel your team is built, or whatever. It just, man, values are the whole key to this thing, though. And it's just, there's no one value. It's so good.
That's why it's so much fun. Yeah. And of course, TA1 is the one league where Rocky has Tyler Boyd, except I already have T. Higgins, and I don't think that offense is good enough to have both of them.
You know, it's funny. That's one of the only leagues I have Sam Darnold. And then out of the dispersal, it looked like I may only have one quarterback because I had Russ, Fitz, and Darnold. And now two of those three are good. And I traded Russ for Deshaun Watson, so I may only have two quarterbacks.
At least you still got two.
Yeah. But it looked like I was only going to have Russ, and then this Russ was trying to trade me quarterbacks at various times since that dispersal. But now I may actually have three if Watson plays this year.
I thought I was being clever because it was just me and him in the dispersal. And I know Rocky thought it was like, because we were just going back, because it's a snake draft with the two of us. So pretty much we each get two picks at a time. Yep. And so I grab one quarterback because I don't remember the order of it anymore. But I grab one, and then he only grabs one, and I'm like, well, you know, I could be nice, but I think I'm just going to grab both these quarterbacks right now. So I grabbed three and let him to take up Fitzpatrick and Darnold, hoping I'd be able to later turn that into, you know, me getting the guys that I wanted that he picked, but it didn't work. I mean, I got Diggs sooner or later, but it wasn't
how I planned. Yeah, I did trade you Diggs. I still never got Kelsey.
I'm working on it. freaking Patriots killing Hunter Henry.
I know.
And Jonu in a way. I mean, like there was like a 3 or 4 hour stretch on Twitter where everybody was Jonu fans, and then like the next day everybody was like, nope, he's dead. Neither one of them were gonna be good. Like, it's just amazing how that turned around when they signed Henry. It was like, oh.
I'm so curious what that offense is gonna look like with a Cam Newton that at least as of late we have seen cannot throw the ball very well. which might be good for Hunter Henry, I guess, right?
Well, I was going to say, that isn't that playing to his strengths? Like, Cam's not a deep ball guy, right? So, like, having two really good tight ends that they can put in every down and just kind of run outs and slants and just kind of, you know, get around in the underneath, so that's perfect for Cam. Mm-hmm. And I really do think I thought Cam was kind of dead coming into this year and the Patriots are going to move on, but they signed him. They brought in weapons for him. I feel like that whole thing turned around. There's a league where I have Cam as my – I think he's my third quarterback. I have, like I want to say it's like Burrow and Roethlisberger in a super flex, and then Cam is my third. And I was – no, it's Lamar and Roethlisberger, and then Cam is my third. And I've been like, if Cam doesn't come back, I'm going to need to do something. And he's back, and it sounds like his weapons are better. Hell, Roethlisberger is now my third. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, let's see what happens here. So, yeah, that offense is going to be fun to watch.
Well, Pats are going zero wide receiver.
Yeah, but, hey, it still catches. It's still yards for Cam, right? I don't know. Cut that up. We'll see.
All right, so we talked about Darnold and Darnold's value. Does this change any of the pass catcher's value on any of these teams? Like, are you now valuing DJ Moore higher because he has a guy who can throw more than 12 yards? Does this change anything for either of you?
I'll go first, I guess. DJ Moore to me is kind of the same. I don't think his value changes too much. I think his role in the team is set in stone. If anything, I think we hit on it earlier. Robbie Anderson, I think, gets a little bump. Darnold is familiar with him. He doesn't need to catch up to speed. He knows where he's going to be and can put the ball. They have a little bit of a history there, so that's nice. I do think CMC might see a little bump because Darnold might still see ghosts, right? So there could be some of that talk where you need to have a quick dish off. So I think for, in general, for the Panthers, it's all signs steady or up. For the Jets, I mean, that place is already kind of a confusing spot. You know, you got, was it now, Corey Davis and Denzel Mims? And Chris Herndon, God rest his soul, wherever he went. I mean, it's like maybe he's a player now. But if you bring in a rookie, how does that look? And how long does it take them to build? So I feel like Jets are kind of the same or down with this move. So, I mean, it's hard to say at this point. We're what, like 8 hours into the trade and kind of figuring out what's going on. But I think after the draft and after we start to see what they're doing in the offseason and training camp and things like that, I think that'll help. But for now, I'm not certain on the Jets. That's all.
I think Andrew put it right with the Panthers. It's a little bump maybe for everybody, but I'm not paying any extra than I was paying for DJ Moore 12 hours ago or whatever it was.
No.
Or Robbie Anderson or anybody. But, I mean, I believe that Darnold is a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater. So, and with the return of CMC, the whole offense should be better. So, like he said, signs up, but I'm not paying any extra just because they brought in Darnold. I think it's the same value wise, and hopefully we'll see the production tick up and then maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, you guys said it all. I guess I don't really need to add anything to that. So we are at the point in our show where we have to make a decision, and since there's a guest here, we're going to make the guest make the decision. Andrew, do you want to do trades or do you want to do listener questions first?
Let's do trades first. I love talking trades. That's the whole point of this, right? Let's get into it.
Cool EO. All right. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception with 0.05 points for return yardage because we still don't have a TA1 trade and I can't get that rule changed. Whew. All right. So let's start with TA3. Let's just start at the top. I was going to try and find something relevant to what we were talking about. Then I got too lazy. So the first trade is Jerry Jeudy, a 22 first, a 22 second for J.K. Dobbins. How do you feel about that one, Andrew?
Okay, well, I like Dobbins. I think that offense is a run first offense. So I am higher on Dobbins than maybe others or than most. I'm the opposite for Jeudy, where I just don't know if they're going to have a quarterback that can throw enough with Sutton coming back. I'm not sure I trust that. But adding that first and second in 22 it's tasty. Had that been a 21 first and second, I think that would have been a smash on that side. But if you're delaying that a year and if I'm looking at this, if I'm a rebuild, why not hold on to Dobbins? If I'm rebuilding, I want future picks, but Dobbins isn't a bad rebuild option either. I mean, again, if you're looking at 3 years or so for running backs, he's starting his second year. If you're in a 3-year rebuild in fantasy, you need to pick a different sport because honestly, like if you're planning that far out, your team is done. Like you're so at the end of the barrel, it doesn't matter. So I think you probably hold Dobbins and wait for, I don't know, some sort of breakout game in the preseason or week 3. and then trade him for more. I don't see any reason to trade Dobbins, in my opinion anyway, as a rebuild. If you're a contender, then I don't know why you would make that trade either, right? Like, I just don't know. I always lean on the Dobbins side, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, it just doesn't feel like a trade I would make. But again, everybody has different values. Everybody can look at this and go, well, I don't think Dobbins is going to do anything this year. I think Judy's in for a big year, and the extra picks make it worth it. But yeah, for me, I think I take the Dobbins side, but it does feel like a lot for Dobbins.
Yeah, I kind of... Okay, so for me, the value actually seems pretty on point. Yeah. I think Judy's value has fallen very, very far. And especially with recent transactions, that's not the right word. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say. With the recent happenings of the Panthers now being out of the drafting a quarterback situation, that makes it a little bit more of a chance that someone falls to the Broncos. Like, what if this Justin Fields drop is real and Justin Fields ends up with the Broncos? We know that Jerry Jeudy is talented. We know that he is a good wide receiver. We have all, most of us, have eaten a ton of crow over A.J. Brown, which we have now the A.J. Brown rule, which means we have to just completely write off situation and just try and harp on talent. I love Jerry Jeudy coming in because, you know, he's kind of the Calvin Ridley kind of guy. Like, they're very similar kind of players. And why was Calvin Ridley so good so early? Because Julio freaking Jones was on the other side of him. Now, I'm not calling Cortland Sutton Julio freaking Jones, but I am a very big Cortland Sutton fan. And he is also, he's the prototypical X guy, very tall, very fast. And he can stretch the field while Jerry Jeudy can get those underneath things. And then there's also Fant coming out of the, probably the slot, because let's face it, you're never going to ask Noah Fant to block. But to me, like, I still think that an arrow can be pointing up for Jerry Jeudy. So I am of the mind where if I'm rebuilding, I honestly just don't like having running backs on my team, because it's points that I don't need. And especially J.K. Dobbins, I love J.K. Dobbins. He was my favorite running back coming into this year. At first, the idea of landing in Baltimore was freaking great. There's just no pass catching upside in that backfield whatsoever. And that kind of kills it a little bit. I think it was Zach Reed's point where Derrick Henry literally set records rushing this year and was the RB6 in PPR. Yep. And Dobbins does have a chance at being RB6. Like, let's face it. If they give him a workhorse role in that offense plays a little better than it did last year with a mobile quarterback like Lamar, it's like, remember how good Alfred freaking Morris was? Yeah. Because he had RG3 in front of him. Like it's so easy to be relatively to other football players, because it's not like I could walk into the running back and do well because Lamar Jackson's in front of me. But, you know, relatively, it's easy to do well in a situation where you have a mobile quarterback, and Dobbins is talented as hell in the first place. So it should be really, really, but like, he's not going to catch 40, 50 balls in a season. It's just not in their game plan. So I'm fine, especially if I'm rebuilding, getting rid of J.K. Dobbins. If I had Jonathan Taylor, that would be different. But, you know, if I had a guy where I can see a path to being a top 2-3 running back year after year, which I think is there for Taylor, I would hold on to him. But yeah, someone like Dobbins, I would move. And would I move him for Jerry Jeudy, a future first and a future second? The answer is going to be probably, because from what I've seen, I don't know how much more you can get for him. And these 20.
Well, that's actually what I'm talking about. I think if you wait, you can get a little more for him. Running backs are a weird thing in the offseason, in a non-point scoring season. You're hitting the nail on the head. I don't like holding running backs on rebuilding teams because their value is almost like a new car. It depreciates as soon as you walk it off the lot, right?
Let's
like
not pretend that anybody in any of these leagues has the patience to wait.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. These are trade addicts. These are all addicts, right? These are all people that have admitted they have a problem. That's step one. And I get that. I guess what I'm going for is I feel like Dobbins as a running back has more value to a contender and somebody will overpay. I'd rather wait because you're not going to use any of these assets right now, right? In the offseason, you're not using any of this.
To your
you
point,
can wait. Yeah.
Yeah. He got 22 first and second. He didn't even get picks in this year's draft. So that is a trade you can make later and probably get more.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you wait till week three when Barkley goes down, or, you know, whoever. I don't want to wish any ill on any running back, but like, you, that happens every year, right? I mean, of course, it could be Dobbins too, right? Dobbins goes down, your value tanks. But I just think Dobbins is a second year running back. He's not at that age cliff. He's 22. You know what I mean? Like, he's got plenty of value. I think he's going to be running backs. You kind of see him dip in this time of year, right before the draft, when all the new names are coming in. But Baltimore's not drafting a running back. There's no threat to his job. I don't see his value changing significantly in the next 6 months, to be honest. I mean, you could probably even do it right before the season starts and get Judy in 2 firsts or Judy in 3 firsts. Or, I mean, if you really want Judy, I get it. And I'm not hating on the trade. It's a fair trade. I mean, even DLF has it within 5 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's right there value-wise. So I don't hate it. But my logic is, if I'm getting rid of Dobbins now, I want it to be an overpay. I mean, you're going to have to, like, pry him from my hands at this point, because what am I doing with him anyway? Just sitting on my bench. He's not – I don't see his value depreciating much right now, right? Even after the draft, his value could go up, because then all these people thought that they would draft someone and they didn't, because I don't think they're going to. But I also like your point, too, about Judy. I mean, there is a very sincere chance that he becomes a stud and you're getting him for a steal with this trade. So, I mean, again, it just depends on how you value him.
It's funny, you said you like a good GIF game, and all I could picture is Veruca Salt going, "I want it now." Yeah, because that's pretty much me in trades and all of that stuff. All right, so yeah. I think we've talked about that one long enough. Let's move on to Zeke Elliott, the 207, the 208 for Kenny Golladay and the 112. Hey, Rocky, how do you feel about that one?
this is my trade.
This is your trade that I missed out on getting Zeke from.
Yeah. Golladay is really hard to move right now, even with the signing with the Giants. I have him in another league where I'm rebuilding, and I've moved a lot of my guys, but he's still on my team, and I can't get anything for him. And it's mostly, I mean, as it should be, it's just about the value for me. I think Zeke is someone I can sell later for more value. Just what Andrew was just talking about in season. We were talking before the show. I mean, I think Zeke's in for a big year. He was doing great with Dak before he went down last year. I see no reason that's going to change this year. I don't think he's washed or anything. So I just thought the value was more with Zeke over Golladay, and getting the 207 and 208 with the 112. That's fine for me. I mean, I think that's pretty close as is anyway, just on its own. And I'm getting more value in Zeke to sell later. I mean, this league, I'm kind of, I haven't said exactly rebuilding, but retooling at least, trying to get younger. So Zeke's not someone I really necessarily want, even though I'm picking him up in a lot of leagues. But I think he's a much better flip piece, you know, a piece to move later than Golladay is. And I've been trying to shop Golladay around and nobody wanted him. So once I got this, I was like, yeah, let's do it.
It's really funny because right when you joined TA7, we did a trade. And I got Golladay from you, and I'm like, oh, I'll flip this guy so easy. And it has not proved to be very easy at all. But hold on. So I just pulled up DLF ADP, and we're still in March since it's only the first week of April. And Kenny Golladay is wide receiver 25, 82nd overall player. To me, that just screams, okay, that's a little too low, but that's completely besides the point. I'm still scrolling up to try and find Zeke. that's how different this is. Wow, Zeke's actually 36. That's a lot farther down than he should be. But that also, besides the point, to me, the 112 doesn't bridge that gap. Like this, and especially the 207 to 208, it's not nothing. That's 9 picks later than the pick you just gave up.
And it's two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it gives me like 5 seconds in that league where I said I'm trying to retool, so more shots at it. All of them are not going to pan out, but if I have 5 seconds, maybe 2 or 3 of them do. So,
yeah, and plus, you know, you'll be able to put 2 of them together to move up at some point when someone's on the clock and they don't want to make a pick.
Right.
So yeah, I really do like that for you, and I am upset that you offered that because I thought I had a good offer out for Zeke, and clearly it did not get accepted. What do you think about that one, Andrew?
It's the Zeke side all day. I mean, honestly, like I just wrote last week and for Fantasy Pros as a collaborative article, I wrote about how Golladay is one of my wide receivers to avoid this year in redraft. I'm not sure what he's going to be with that offense. I mean, yeah, it could be a terrific, amazing match made in heaven with Daniel Jones, but that there's a high ceiling, but there is a low floor too. I mean, there are some things that could go terribly wrong in that offense. Barkley's coming back. Evan Ingram might actually show up again. You got Sterling Shepard still. There is some competition. Galladay kind of sat out a whole year. I mean, he was injured, but like he missed some time. Is he going to come back, or is it going to be like that next Odell Beckham where he's that name everybody likes? He's a wide receiver one. He gets hurt. He gets traded, and it just sort of, blah, you know what I mean? Like it just doesn't land right. So I'm nervous about that. At the same time, Zeke, I think, is coming up. I think Zeke without Dak last year was a whole different beast. We talked about Cam before, but I think Zeke's in the same boat. Coach these guys, man. These are prime athletes in the probably the hardest sport to play for an athlete. It is brutal on your body. And to be able to get COVID and recover and then feel like you're just back to 100%, we've heard people talking about it a lot where it's like, it's just not that easy. It takes a lot of effort and this thing sticks with you. So I do think Zeke had a bad year, and you're seeing, I mean, we all heard this, I think in January, February, his ADP was like fourth, fifth round, you know, like he was dropping far in super flex leagues, and it was kind of crazy to see. So I think he's on the upswing. I think Galladay's on the downswing, and the picks, Rush, you put it perfect. It's not enough for me to make that leap. To go from 7 and 8 in the second round up to 12. I mean, yeah, but at 112, you're in the same tier, depending on how you rank things. I mean, a lot of those receivers, there's 8 or 9 of them I might like all kind of equally, depending on landing spot. I mean, at that point, what's the difference? And then I get 2 of them in a rebuild. Sign me up. So, yeah, good trade, Rocky. I would have done the same.
And by the way, Zeke's bad year was RB10. So
RB10. Yeah. How bad was that? Yeah. Well, and again, it's bad, but it's in perspective of he was an RB3, right?
Right.
So everybody's got this stink on him like he's horrible, but good Lord, give me RB10 over wide receiver 87 or whatever Galladay was because he was hurt, you know? Like, ah. Oh.
Okay. So Zeke right now that I totally just lost his spot in this is running back 12. Let's say he finishes this season as running back 4. Is his ADP going up?
Yeah.
That's my question. I think it was. Is his value going up because he is going to be, well, he's 25 now, so yeah. Let's just assume he's going to be 26 going into the season, which means he'll be 27 going into next season. So even if he scores that many points, do we think his ADP, his trade value, can still go up from where it is right now?
I don't think it goes up, say, next February.
Right.
But this November, then, yes, yep. It goes way up.
Agreed.
Because in February, it's, you know, it's don't buy running back season, and he's 26, and we all hate old people and, you know, old football players and all that stuff.
That's new. Ooh, yeah, Rocky hates old
quote
people.
Unquote, quote, unquote, old football players, as yeah. The injury pointed out. In September, October, November, December, his ADP will skyrocket, or his trade value will anyway, even if his ADP doesn't.
100% agree.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to put together was, let's say we have a season where both of them really, though they actually do well, where Zeke does what we think Zeke's going to do. And I like the pairing of Galladay and Daniel Jones, because Daniel Jones to me is like a not as good version of Stafford. Stafford was never afraid to throw the ball to anywhere, mostly because he started his career with Calvin Johnson. But like Daniel Jones just kind of degaffed from the beginning, even though he had Evan Ingram, but oh well. So I think they fit well because I don't think he's the kind of quarterback that's going to be afraid to throw to contested catching situations. So I like the pairing, and I like that Zeke is coming back. Not Zeke. I like that Saquon's coming back because it's just going to make the offense better, and that's what was missing last year was a good offense. Like it's not that Jones was that bad. It's that entire every all 11 of them just weren't doing well together. So I think there is a very good chance that both of them in the situations they are kind of like raise themselves a little bit. But the question is Zeke in his position, Galladay in his position, they're both at that weird age cliff. Like, because Galladay is 27, Zeke is going to be 26. I don't remember what I said already. Like, so they're both at the point where I don't know how high they can go. So you might as well take the guy that's higher now, and I'm going to stop. I get that I said it in a different way, but I'm saying the same thing. So we're just
totally fine. I don't think Galladay has any chance of going, unless he has like a Davante Adams type season. He's not going up at, you know, 28 going on 29 next year.
Well, I think the one thing that I will say to what Russ was getting into there is that Zeke has a smaller gap to rise. right? Zika's already higher. Galladay has a lot of room to potentially rise and to add to his value, right? He could be a fourth round pick in redraft leagues in September and August, right? Like he could be one of those guys that somebody just goes all in and you see the ceiling. But I just don't think that I'd rather take the higher floor of Zeke than the higher ceiling of Galladay, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, especially with this time of year, trading for Zeke is a weird thing. Like we just were talking about, everybody hates running backs, but I think Zeke's got a lot of potential between now and October to double in value. Maybe, I mean, he jumps right back up there. If some of the other guys at the top stutter a little out of the gate and Zeke's working with Dak again, and Dak's on that franchise tender now. So he's going to have to make it happen. And they go all in for the Super Bowl. I mean, who knows what we're talking about? And I just think Zeke's the safer play, ironically.
Like last year, Henry was already 26 and people were giving up a bunch for him for their playoff pushes. So I think you could see a similar thing.
I was trying to think of something clever to be like, don't you talk about Derrick Henry like that. But so are all these freaking running backs. It's just disgusting. Okay. So let's move on to Trade Addicts 4. I'm going to kick this one off. Let you guys talk while I go run and get my dog that is pissing off my wife. Trade Addicts 4, Travis Kelce and the 202 for Darren Waller and the 109. Actually, you know what, Rocky, get started and I will be right back.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit before the show. I think this is a really fair trade. I love both these guys. I am team elite tight end. I always look to get one. Even in non-premiums, I look to get an elite tight end. I just think the positional advantage is a huge thing. And there's only generally three or four of them at a time. Right now we have three. A year or two ago we had Ertz in there. But the five-pick upswing I don't think changes that much for me. After about seven or eight at least pre-draft, I think there's a pretty big tier from the late first to the early second. So I would definitely take Kelce here. I still think there's more upside in Kelce than Waller with the Kansas City offense. Just the fact he's been tight end one for 5 years running. I love Waller a lot too. I actually, in a recent startup for a 2.0 premium did, I actually drafted both of them. So I was very happy about that, but I'll take Kelce here, even with the lower pick, just because he's the better player, and I don't see it. Even at 31, I think he's still got quite a few good years left. So what do you think?
I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, I have Waller in a couple leagues, I want to say, and I don't hate Waller. He's a couple years younger, but at that point, you know, who really cares? So you're gaining a little bit there, but. Aw, puppy. But no, sorry, I got distracted. But no, so like I think we're on the same page where Kelce is one of those players that, especially in a Trade Addicts 1.75 tight end premium, if you have Kelce, you pretty much have two players in that position. And there's only, I don't know, three players in all of fantasy that you can really do that with. So I think if you're trading back five spots to get that, I'm fine with that. I mean, Waller is probably about the same production-wise, but he's not as studly. And that offense, I mean, Las Vegas could be a whole different team this year. There's a whole bunch of question marks there. Kansas City's reloaded and is almost exactly the same, minus Sammy Watkins, so who cares? But so I think Kelce is, I don't know, he's probably one of the best assets in your Trade Addicts setup, and I don't see any reason why this trade wouldn't make sense. I mean, if it was Kelce alone for Waller in the 109, I might take Waller in the 109. But you're getting 202. That's a pretty close, like we were just saying, that's the same tier for me. So, yeah, I say go for it, Kelce.
Before Russ comments on this trade, the reason, one of the very many reasons you should add the Patreon is Russ just had his bulldog on camera. And if you weren't subscribed to the Patreon, you missed it because you can't be watching it right now.
Patreon.com/tradeout.
I just confused a lot of listeners. You know, they're like, what? Oh, where? I didn't.
Well, they might have heard her sniffing the microphone because
for sure.
Okay, so we were talking before we actually started recording. This league just hates Travis Kelce, and it's blowing my mind. And this is a league where I joined the Second Chance Dispersal because I hated my team, even though I think I came in second place or third place, something along those lines. Like I did really well, but I hated the team. It was in this weird spot where I'd be screwed in like a year and a half when all my old guys started to fade away. So I'm like, let's just do it. This is, and I purposely went in with the idea that I was going to, you know, use this team as a rebuild, but Kelce just fell to me. And it's just like, I should be able to trade him and get a lot for him. and nobody wanted him. He's 31. He's old. Oh, yeah, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to do what they did again.
They would say the exact opposite if they had Kelce, though. That's what I love about this. When you're talking about trades, people always badmouth the guy you're offering. Like, no, I don't want that guy. He's old and washed up. But on the other end, they're like, Kelce's a stud. He's a... Yeah.
No, like, seriously, like, this, and like, it got to the point, it's funny, because one of the guys that I tried to trade him to was Justin, you know, at Run DFF, our B team guy, and he put out a freaking Twitter thread against Travis Kelce. So this is not him talking out of both sides. He's just like, no, man. And I guess
it's crazy.
If you're going to be wrong, you might as well go all the way being wrong. And that's what Justin did.
It's crazy, though. I mean, the dynasty community just gets more and more ageist every year, and that's what this is. With the, you know, it's sell Kelce, sell Adams, sell all the top running backs because they're all 25, and I think that's what's fueling a lot of this the super flex, the 10 quarterbacks in the first round, because all of them are young and they're good. So it's ageism plus people overvaluing the QB position in Superflex. But yeah, I've said it a million times that's not me. And I just can't get over it. It's every year it gets worse and worse.
Yeah. I wish I had either left that 202 off, or, cause this was just a straight offer and accepted. This was really me just being pissed off that I couldn't get a good offer and I was just going to start taking steps. That's really all it was. This was me being me. This was not doing the right thing. This was just me needing to make a move for the sake of making a move. And
I know one of the things that you always talk about there, Russ, is like, I do care about your fantasy team, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things where the context of this trade matters a lot. On paper, in a vacuum, on a Twitter poll, for me, it's Kelce, right? I'm not in that league. I'm not in that situation. But if you've shopped Kelce and this is what you feel like the best you can get, or you're just exasperated at the end of your rope and just happy because we're addicts, we have to scratch that itch where you're like, I have got to trade Kelce now. It's something I'm going to do, and I don't care what it costs me. That piece of context makes a difference, right? Where it's like, now I'm going to get the best I can for him, and this is what I think is the best. You are trading up. You are getting younger. It's not the worst trade ever. But I do think sometimes that context and nuance is entirely lost when you go online and you're dealing with social media and you get these people that come, you know, guns blazing for no reason. You're like, man, you don't know the context of everything here. Like, we're doing the best we can to convey it to you, but you don't know how stressed out I was. I could not get anyone to take Kelce. Like, I love that you add that. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I the difference in those picks to me, if I could have done this during the draft, it could have been differently, because assuming the draft goes the way, the rookie draft goes the way I have seen every single mock draft, every single way I've seen everything fall, Rondale Moore goes at the 201, and I don't really care about too much after that. So that is fair. So I pull up to 109 and I'm guaranteeing myself Moore or Bateman pretty much. And I'm thrilled with that. So that is honestly what went through my mind in being okay giving, because I also have the 201. So that didn't really come into play. It's just saying out loud that I can get both of them and that would make me happy. But being able to secure a guy that I want also makes it more worthwhile, even though, like you said, maybe if that 202 wasn't in that trade, you'd be like, okay, no, this makes more sense and that's fine. But every league's its own market, and I am crazy and impatient. So that's what happened.
And with the two tight ends, it's probably not a major production drop off. I mean, Kelce's not going to
5 points per freaking game last year.
And Kelce's not going to repeat last year. That was an all-time tight end season right there. So,
okay, so let's jump into it. A couple of Trade Addicts 8 trades. So let's get into Joe Mixon and Mike Evans for Davante Adams and Marvin Jones. What do you think of this one, Rocky? Because it's both of us. So, Andrew, what do you think of this one? And keep in mind, you're gonna be upsetting one of us.
Yeah.
And both of us if you chicken out and say it's a fair deal.
Well, okay. So let me start with this. This does, in my opinion, depend on how the teams are built, because Adams is the best player of the two, but he's also the oldest. I'm kind of counting Jones as a throw into even the deal, right? Marvin Jones isn't worth much. He's not going to move the needle. But I think if I'm contending, I'd much rather have Adams. And I think in general, the way that we've talked about it already, running backs have a tendency to go down in value or have more fluctuation. Mike Evans had a really odd year last year, so his value is all over the place. But Adams is a top three receiver in almost everybody's ranks. So I think, in all honesty, if it were me and I'm contending, I'd take Adams. But I think if I'm rebuilding or I just don't like my team, I might trade away Adams for those two guys and say, hey, they've got good value. But I think in a vacuum, just asking me here, I say I take Adams and Jones. So which side was that? Oh.
Yeah, that was Rocky. Me raising my hand.
Yeah. And me pointing to Rocky. But I'm also super distracted because my dog knocked over a chair so she could chew on the leg. Like, this isn't like a small piece of using my hands. So patreon.com/tradeadamspot. You can see how big the leg of this chair is that my very not that big really dog is chewing
awkward on. Position you just put your hands in there too. That was really funny.
Shake weight. Okay, so let's talk about this trade.
How'd this come to be? Who sent what? Who countered? What was the deal? Who started?
It's exactly 100% the way you said it. I sent it Davante Adams for the two players, and he counters adding Marvin Jones. And I'm just like, have your old guy. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
And now don't get upset. The next three trades you get from me are trying to give you Adam Thielen in every single league because you like them old guys. And now you just reassured that. Okay. So what this is my team is not great in Trade Addicts 8. Is another one where I made the playoffs. I think I was in fourth or fifth, and I was in a weird spot yet again. So I'm just like, blow it up. Second chance dispersal. Let's do this. And again, I took Davante Adams because he was there. It was the best value. And Davante Adams is old, so you can't move him. So trying to think of the right way to word this. This was about value for me, except the weird thing is this isn't a trade I normally make because, like, this is, to me, this was a Swags move, Swagzilla 0G Shane. He's the kind of guy that traded Swift, he traded CEH for Swift straight up because he's like, Swift's going to be better, he's going to be worth more later, I'm going to do it now.
Swags value and I
right now be damned.
Yeah, he and I have gone back and forth about that trade for literally a year now. So yeah, I'm familiar with the trade.
Yeah, so like what I did with this is Adams' value can't go up. If Burrow comes back quickly, they keep getting those offensive linemen in Cincinnati, and Mixon goes 3-4 games of having low-end RB1, high-end RB2 numbers, his value will absolutely go up. And I'm with you with Mike Evans. I was all off of Mike Evans at the beginning of the season. He was Jordan Howard. He was... one catch for 2 yards and a touchdown. Like he literally caught the ball at the 2 yard line and fell forward, and that was his game.
It was
awful. It was, but you know, then Chris Godwin started missing games, and you know, you could tell as the season went on that offense started to become more and more of what it should have been that entire time, and given that players were hurt and there was no off season for them to get together. So Evans was doing really well by the end of the season. And you're right. His value is kind of screwy right now. So I think it's a buy. I think he's a buy. I think he's a very big acquisition guy for me. I tried not to use the same words twice in a row, but then I just screwed myself over because I couldn't put a sentence together. So what I really did was I made this trade now, A, because I needed to scale down. I needed to one for two Davante Adams because I don't have enough assets on my team. And because I believe that in 3 months, in 5 months, once the season starts, these two guys can be worth more. And two games into the season, if Jamar Chase is what Jamar Chase is, and like he pulls a Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, where all of a sudden, oh, wide receiver one, I don't think Davante Adams' value can recover from that. Even if it doesn't stick, because we will have seen that youth jump in front of the old guy. And we've seen, like with DeAndre Hopkins, that you don't really recover from that. So this was a trade that was out of character for me, but I'm trying to, like, it was funny. I was talking to, I don't remember who I was talking to anymore. I talked to so many damn people, but if you do everything the same way in every single league, you're stuck with the same guys. Like I'm stuck in every single league. Like, okay, let's make a trade. Am I going to trade away Higgins? No. Am I going to trade away Ridley? No. Am I going to trade away Robinson? No. Am I going to I get stuck with all of my guys, and it's like, what am I going to do now? Because I don't want to rip my own heart out of my chest. I might as well have someone else send me an offer for Ridley, and maybe I'll accept it. But like me being like, nope, here you go, heart on the table. Like I can't do that, so I get myself stuck. So I did try and do something that was a little different than I normally would have, and I like how this worked out. And I knew he was going to just stick it to me by asking for Marvin Jones. Like, I even knew it was going to be Marvin Jones. And I didn't even, like, I saw it and I'm like, except, that's fine.
Well, I think really what you're doing here is you're adding risk. That's what we were just talking about before, right? You're taking Adams and you're splitting them up into two pieces that are about the same value that both have a higher ceiling each and have a more of a risk profile to give you an increase in value. And if you don't think Adams is going to go up at all, then that was the smart move for your team, right? You said you just took this as a dispersal, right? So you were in the middle ground of the league and that's the worst place to be. And you it's not the same team, but you don't want to be there again. Yep. Right. So you're going to make some decisions this time that are outside of that and go, okay, well, let me go counter to what I usually do to change the mojo a little and let's add some risk. So I'm all for that. On certain teams, that's the only answer.
And I agree totally with what Russ said, that both those guys could go up. And my initial reaction when the trade came through was this is too much for Adams. And then I thought about it and I was just looking now. I mean, it's wide receiver 20 and RB 18 right now. Not that startup value necessarily equals trade value, but it's probably not too much. And I just figured, I got another old guy thrown in because I feel like I make a TAA trade every week because I keep mentioning that this is the one league I got added to after becoming co-host where I'm going hard for it. Doing this trade, I got Mahomes, Barkley, Cook, Adams, and Kelsey, and about eight other decent guys that can fill out this five flex.
You had Herbert.
I have cousins at QB too. I'm fine with that. I got those five studs and I got a bunch of guys to fill in around them. So it did make a lot of sense. And the value did seem right to me as of right now. Like I said, I agree, Russ, they could go up, but I'm willing to do that because I'm pushing hard for this one. I think I have like no picks the next 2 years. So I'm hoping I get a title because I inherited no picks on this team. So I'm hoping I can get a title out of this team and then maybe contend in 22 and then we'll see what happens in 23.
Okay, so we have two more trades, so let's get on to them. The next one, Jerry Jeudy and two 22 firsts for Antonio Gibson, a 203 and a 303. Okay, so hold on. I'm going to work in one of the listener questions because Beryl Joffrey asks, yo, I'm trying to record. selling current picks, what should the return be? Now, that's such a, we could do an entire show on that, especially with the ranting I was doing before. But my question is, at what point do either of you feel okay selling for a future first? Break down this trade.
No, this is a perfect trade to answer that question with. It's the perfect real life example to talk about it because what you're giving up is Antonio Gibson, which is a running back, a second year running back. So he's not necessarily a rebuilding asset like we were talking about before with Dobbins. He's somebody that you're probably trying to get rid of if your team is terrible. The 203 and 303 aren't really going to help you too much either this year or for the long term. It's lottery tickets. So I think if you're looking at that and you're saying, hey, I'm looking to move. Anytime I'm rebuilding, I like to move my running backs for receivers. They tend to hold value better. Jeudy could be on the uprise. If I'm getting rid of a second and a third for two future firsts, that to me feels like an upgrade that's worth taking. The players in this, obviously Gibson has more value now, but in a year that could be exactly flopped in the other way. So I think this is the perfect kind of trade to talk about that and say, well, if you really don't believe that Gibson on your team this year and those other picks are going to make you contend, then I'm all for it. And let's scrap it. Let's go get those future firsts. Let's try to add up. But I think if it's really specific to the team in the league, you know, it's not like it's going to be in a vacuum. It always makes sense to do this. It depends on, do you have any other firsts? Do you have any other picks this year? Because you don't really want to rebuild with no picks in a draft. Right. Because then you're just getting older. You're kind of limping 1 year further and then you got to scrap it further. So I think this is the perfect kind of trade for that because you're giving up the value in Gibson for the future potential, but you're only giving up little picks now. So you're not trading away a ton now just to kick it down the road.
Yeah. Like I see at the 203, you can get Jalen Waddle or Terrace Marshall or guys like this that people do believe in. So I can easily see the 203 going for a future first. In which case, when valuating this trade, we just cross those out. So Jeudy and a first for Gibson and what was it? The 303. I already clicked off of it.
303.
I think that makes sense. Like to me, that's pretty good value. So Like, this is a good trade. And usually when you see multiple firsts going, it's usually to overspend on a guy. But to me, this is a very fair trade, and I really like it for both sides. If I had to choose a side, I think I take Antonio Gibson in the 203, just because I think I could move that 203 for something else also. And I still get Antonio Gibson, who I think is very good. And I think he's the kind of guy that running back, I should say, he's the kind of running back that even if I am rebuilding, I'm okay holding on to, because he is a pass catcher. So his value in the NFL, not even just in Dynasty, which it will also help, like, it'll last a little longer. Like, Kamara, McCaffrey, these guys are going to last longer in the NFL than, well, I mean, the way the Browns are using Nick Chubb, because he can catch passes, they just don't let him do it. Like, or Derrick Henry, let's say. Like, you know, their value will last a little longer because they can catch passes. So I think Antonio Gibson falls into that pretty easily. And not to mention what his value can skyrocket to if Fitzpatrick is the answer for this year and Gibson comes in at, like, running back 10.
Yep.
Sorry, no, my dog agree is with freaking you. The hell out.
I agree with you. I think Gibson's a rare talent. I think there is a lot of variation on his value too, to kind of go back to that. Each league is its own market. There are some leagues that I think Gibson gets passed around a lot and people kind of just keep trading him because of all the potential and the upside. But then there are others. I'm in one where a guy drafted him last year and hasn't moved him and is not willing to listen to offers. And it's just like, nope, he's my guy. And at that point, to get Gibson, you have to give up first and Judy. Yep. Like, you have to do a trade like this to get him if you want him. And if you're a contender and that's you're kind of light at running back, or you've got like two studs and then nobody else, right? And you're like, hey, I'm making a go this year. I've got receivers. Let me give up the two firsts that I added. Let me give up Judy and get my guy Gibson. And you're still getting good current picks back. So it's a fair trade. I just think, you know, I like the Judy in the first in this situation.
I think the same thing. It's in regards to the trade, I definitely like the Judy in the first side. I think of a lot of these 2020 rookies, we're kind of overvaluing them almost. We're valuing them at their ceiling, I think. Gibson, yes. Akers, Dobbins. And I'm just not ready to do that. But I do think this is what you have to pay if you want to get Gibson just because of that. I think it's a fair trade, but I would definitely and I'm not even super high on Judy, but getting the two first. And in regards to the future first question, I definitely think you kind of have to factor in the class and where in the round you're talking about. And to what you said, like, Jalen Waddle is probably a first in 2022, like, which is supposed to be a weaker class. So I'm much more inclined to do that. Then in general, I don't like doing the give up a first for an early second kind of move. In this class, I probably would, but in general, I'd rather be the one selling the second for the future first.
Well, again, the picks don't score points, right? You got to draft somebody at some point. You can't just keep saying, well, I'll draft a guy in a year. Like, well, get a guy. Make that your team. That's how points get scored. You can't the 2022 first isn't scoring any points. You're not going to win a title with that pick, right? I mean, it's just not how it goes. It's nice to have, right? If you win a title and then get to make the pick for the player, but I know a couple different leagues where it feels like people just always trade to the next year. Like, there was, I think, 2 years in a row in my home league where it was a one QB league, and the guy traded his second for a first the next year, and then he did it again the next year. And everybody's just like, are you not going to make a second round pick? And he's like, I just don't like anybody here, and I'll take the pick next year. And I get it, but at some point you got to make a pick, man. Like, maybe it's just the trigger. He's just like trigger shy. He's like, I don't know who to pick. Okay. But you got to pick somebody at some point, right?
Yeah, but I do love that move. I do love that move of trading the early second for the first, just because the first is that one carries so much more weight. Even if you're talking like 111 and 203, that one at the beginning of the pick just makes such a big
difference. Look, I'm just saying, I traded plenty of future firsts to get to the 202 to grab T. Higgins, and I'm completely fine with the way that worked out.
Well, that's the other angle on this, is that we don't know what that pick is yet. Even like, we're not on the clock, that, you know, that changes things too. If you're on the clock at 203, I could see you trading 203 for two future firsts. If a guy wants that guy, right? If there's somebody left on the block and is like, hey, I want that player, I'll trade three firsts. I don't care. Give me that guy. Right. So, I mean, that's where the other twist comes in. On a bigger answer to the question, is it may be better to wait till you're on the clock with that pick. But like we said, anyone who's listening to this, we don't like waiting. Like, no, it's really hard to wait. But that's the answer. I think.
I don't care what rookie's there. If you're giving me two future firsts, I'm taking it every time. Yeah.
Yes. I would have sold the pick for T. Higgins if I'm getting two future firsts for it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, let's jump on to our last trade, which actually happened pretty recently, and another one I'm upset about because I didn't get the guy that went in it. Tyler Boyd and Dallas Goedert for the 108, the 208, and the 312. I'm going to go first on this one and say the obvious thing. I'd rather have Tyler Boyd and Dallas Goedert. If that 208 was like the 203, maybe it would change my mind, but like we have gotten into a habit of acting like these, just because it's a strong class, like these picks can't miss. And that's not true. Like, we are holding this 108. Like, this pick is going to be Devontae Smith, and Devontae Smith is going to be an easy wide receiver one in the league, and he's going to be Justin Jefferson, and I'm not going to trade for anything less than you would give for Justin Jefferson right now. And that's kind of crazy. As on the other hand, where you can get Tyler Boyd, who can give you wide receiver 18 to 15-ish every single damn week and help you win a championship. Like, it's not too often I argue in the favor of production over point, over value. But this one, it's pretty easy to me, like, especially because those other picks are so low. And in 1.75, Dallas Goedert, at least, I don't know what Goedert is with Hurts there, but Goedert was pretty highly regarded in tight end premium before the changeover. So I still think, to me, this is the pick, the players pretty easily for me.
I'm rebuilding.
They're young enough that I don't think you need to sell for these picks.
I'm with you. And I think too, that I kind of think Dallas Goedert is now being underrated. Like, he was kind of a hot thing for a while, and I think he's kind of been forgotten a little bit. But Zach Ertz is still there. But everyone in Philadelphia expects him to be gone eventually. And
I've said that every year for the past 3 years, right?
Yeah, but they're actively trying to. They've actually, like, gave him permission to seek a trade. So they're trying. I think they may even cut him if they can't get a trade, but by draft time. But we'll see. But also, I mean, with tight ends, to move into that really high tier, you want a guy who can lead his team in targets. And Goedert, I think, is one of the few guys in the league who could lead his team in targets. Now, you mentioned Hurts. We don't know what that means. He's got, you know, didn't look very accurate last year. That could be an issue, and he's going to run a lot. But leading the team in targets is something that's a pretty big deal for a tight end. So, yep. And it's the only way you can get into that top 3-4 range. So, and Goddard's got tons of talent, you know, on top of that. Forget about just leading the team in targets. So, I definitely think Goddard's been underrated. And I love Boyd, maybe not quite as much as Russ does, but he's another super underrated guy. I mean, I think both these guys are probably individually worth less than the 108, but they're also worth a lot more than the 208, and 312 doesn't matter. So I'm taking the players too.
Well, this is I was just going to say real quick, this is a prime case of, do I want the boat or the box? And there could be anything in that box, maybe even a boat. Like, oh man, like, aren't you dreaming of 108 being Tyler Boyd? Isn't that kind of the idea there? It's not 104. It's not a quarterback. It's going to be a top-tier receiver in this draft, which is, I mean, you're not going to get Jamar Chase. Maybe you will, but, like, that guy you're getting is going to finish wide receiver 20 to 30-ish, and he's a couple years younger than Boyd, sure, but we don't know that, right? Does anybody else? I have shares in N'Keal Harry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took that guy, and I thought he was the guy. That opportunity was there. The talent was there. Everything lined up. Nothing. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Anybody? Honestly, like, how many times have we missed on players? And it's by no fault of anyone. It's just in the first round locks, guaranteed. Like Paris Campbell 2 years ago, right? We were talking about him. Like, Paris Campbell's one of those guys. It should be a no-brainer. Nope, didn't, hasn't done anything yet. So, like, why not take Tyler Boyd, who you know is going to perform and produce, and Goedert too, right? Take the known assets. This is one of those trades I think that would not get done except for the fact that it's draft season. Right. Yep. Everybody wants those picks. They're like, you know what? I'm sick of Boyd and Goedert being blah. I could get a boat. Like, you have a boat, you idiot. Like, what are you doing? Like, that you're making a lateral move. There's not enough for me to make this. If it was 104 and 204 or, you know, higher up, maybe you could kind of swing it and be like, well, they're more sure things. It's a quarterback. At 108, you're almost guaranteed to not get a quarterback. Like, all of them are going to be on by then. And so now you're just lateral trade and for nothing. And to gain a couple years on a potential bust? No, thanks. Give me Boyd and Goedert.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add to that is
the Eagles trading back from six to me was a step up in value to all of their pass catchers, including Goddard, because like you said, while I was a big Rager fan coming in and I still am going forward, he's not going to be the most targeted player on that team. And if Ertz is gone, who else is there? Is Devonta Smith going to be there at 12?
Yeah, that's... even if they take a Waddle, he's probably not going to get more targets than Goddard either.
Exactly. So, I mean, man, I'm talking myself into Goddard a lot more than I was 10 minutes ago. Like, but yeah, I completely agree. So, since we're all just agreeing with each other, we're just going to move on because we have some listener questions that I have to delete one because we just talked about it. But okay, so let's get into PDX Troy Boy. He wants to talk about the hot Drake versus Mac debate between him and Andrew. But seriously, I'm curious about Drake's projected impact in Las Vegas. Will he be a wide receiver, a relief back, receiving back primarily? What does that look like in terms of PPR point production for 21? Thanks, guys. All right, first, what's the big Drake versus Mac debate, Andrew?
Sure. So I got a trade offer, I want to say Friday or Saturday, and it was Marlon Mack and the three. Here, let me pull it up, actually, so I get it right. Marlon Mack and 308. And this is a super flex, no tight end premium, and I think it's PPR. So Marlon Mack and the 308 for Kenyon Drake and the 305. And I was like, wait a minute. So you're wanting me to trade back from three? Like I would be sending Drake and the 305 for Mack and the 308. So I'm trading back three picks in the third to gain value on the other asset. I'm not sure I follow that logic. So I put a poll up on Twitter and I said, which would you rather own in Dynasty? Like, it's not a trade. This isn't like a one for one. It's just literally of these two players, which would you rather have on your roster? And in my head, and I think in almost every ranking, almost every ADP, everything I've seen, Drake is clear and above ahead of Mac. I don't know anybody that ranks Mac ahead of Drake. Yet the poll comes out 75% Drake and 25% Mac. And it blew my mind. I'm like, wait a minute. So they're literally one out of four leagues. I can trade Mac for Drake. Like, that's pretty much what that tells me, right? So I'm like, all right, let me go try. And of course, none of them worked, right? Everybody laughed. And they're like, no, that's ridiculous. But like, everybody on Twitter is going, well, no, Mac has upside and all of this. He's got a better offense and Drake is dead and he's horrible. And I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I can't believe this. So the debate was actually pretty good. There were a lot of people putting in, you know, different things on different sides, and opinions are great because they're never wrong. But I think Drake is by far better than Mac, like not even a question. So I guess I'm curious what you guys think. Am I crazy here?
I don't think you're crazy. I don't really have very much high hopes for Drake in 2021 or any season after.
I'm not saying he's an RB2, but I mean, yeah, he's at least a flex option, and I would have a hard time putting Mac in flex. Like, that just seems strange to me.
Yeah, I think Mac is pure backup. It's JT. Yeah. I think Naheem Hines is going to be involved maybe more than people think, but Mac's basically just pure backup, injury, blowouts, a game if he's lucky. So, yeah, and Drake, I think, is definitely – doesn't have much standalone value. I think more he's just going to hurt Jacobs more than anything. He mentions in the question here receiving back, and because I think they've even said about lining him up at wide receiver or something like that.
Yep. Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, well, I just think that's bizarre though, because I mean Chase Edmonds was the receiving back for Drake in Arizona.
Right. Right. So, well, do you remember when Las Vegas said that about Bowden last year before they traded him, right? Like, yeah. Bowden's going to line him up as a receiver, and they never did that. So this is purely coach speak. I'm not sure I take all of that as honest truth.
Yeah,
and I don't know if Drake is really going to be the receiving back to Jacobs. They both seem like the same kind of player. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's not like Drake can't catch the ball, but he's no special receiving weapon.
He's not Naheem Hines or Austin Eckler.
Yeah, exactly.
Or one of these
he's
guys
not the guy you're going to put in the slot. Yeah.
No. Exactly. No, he's not a Gibson or whatever. Yeah.
Well, so I'm gonna answer this with one question. If these guys are both backups, clearly, mm-hmm. if their leading running back goes down, what happens with both of them? Is Marlon Mack going to be the guy there, or is Kenyon Drake going to be the guy there?
I think Marlon Mack's not going to be the guy
there. There's six other running backs in Indianapolis.
Could be Wilkins.
If Jacobs goes down, there's Jalen Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while I don't know if we're going to get any real value from them, though
completely anecdotally, not looking this up because I refuse to look anything up because I'm far too lazy. I feel like Jacobs has missed at least one or two games in his 2 years in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can get one or two games out of Drake that you won't get out of Mac. Not to mention, Mac's coming back from what? An Achilles, right? Like, you don't really come back from that. So, and I loved Mac coming out. Like, I was a big Marlon Mack supporter. And now I'm just, it's one of those things where it's just like, what could have been, man, right? Yeah. Like, you were good. You were good enough to keep your job until there was a better dude that was easily drafted ahead of you. and that's just the way it was.
Well, there were a lot of people that were commenting that liked Mac because of his, well, after this year, he's going to get another contract and he can go somewhere else. And he's a couple years younger than Drake, and Drake is washed and done, and he's not going to. And I just think that that's, again, going back to the boat box analogy, right? Where it's like, Mac could be anything. He could even be Drake. Like, well, then why aren't you just taking Drake? You know what I mean? Like, I think Mac's ceiling is probably Drake's floor. I don't get how this is even a debate. Because I do think that Drake, I think, has a role. They went out and got him, right? It wasn't like they landed him or the coaching staff changed and they kind of, I guess we'll take him. Like, no, they went and signed him in free agency that first week, if I'm not mistaken.
And gave him money.
And it was like, it was a contract. It wasn't peanuts. And it was a serious signing that everybody who had Jacobs was like, oh, crap, what do I do now? Drake is going to challenge for the starter. I don't remember anybody saying that when Mac signed his contract. Oh, geez, Mac's going to challenge Nyheim Hines for the back. No, they're not even doing that. Like, it boggled my mind. And so, like I said, I sent out a few trades on leagues where I still have Mac, because again, Mac's a prime hold, right? You're not going to get anything for him, but if I can get Drake for Mac, hell yeah, sign me up. But no, none of those got accepted. So yeah,
and I don't even like Drake. So
yeah. I don't either, but that's what I mean. I'm not saying I'm not high on Drake. I'm just saying I'm higher on Drake than I am on Mac. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather have like macaroni and cheese with no cheese than bad tuna fish. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want either, but I'll take one. You know what I mean? If I had to pick.
That was one of the greatest things I've ever heard in my entire life.
So macaroni and cheese, isn't that Mac?
Yeah, Marlon macaroni and cheese.
All right.
No. By the way, Jacobs has missed four games in 2 years, Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much like two games a year. Yeah. I'll take that as a victory.
And Taylor hasn't, but like you said, even if he does, is that going to Mac? I don't think so.
No. Because they still have Wilkins. They still have... I don't even remember the four running backs they kept bringing in. Well, yeah, Hines, obviously, but Hines isn't going to be the guy even if Taylor goes down. Was there any part of that question we missed? Nope. All right, so let's end this on what is one of the best questions we've gotten in a long time. This is from Kyle on the Couch, FF, at Dogleg Brewer. What Toy Story character would make the best football player, and what position would he play? What would they play, to be fair? The one that went out on Twitter was Rex playing fullback, which I'm 100% behind. And I'll give you the reasons I gave on Twitter and the one I didn't actually give. First of all, let's not forget in Toy Story 2, when they get up the elevator shaft to go rescue Woody, how do they get past the vent? Rex lowers his head and they just ram straight through. Not to mention, he's got those tiny arms that he's holding that ball so close to that body. No one's ripping that out. And no one's tackling a freaking T-Rex. Let's just put it that way, man. Like, so to me, that was a good one. That was a very good one. Does anyone else have a good answer for this one?
I don't have a good answer, but I'm going to go because I'm guessing you guys are going to have better answers. So I'd rather leave the people with those. and I don't know if this is the best football player, but I think he would be very good in a specific role. And I'm going to go with Slinky Dog as a goal line back. He's got the low center of gravity. He'd be awesome at jumping over the pile. You could also use him on special teams to block kicks.
So, say what you want, man. That was the perfect answer.
That was one of my
options. Put yourself down because maybe you're not as much of a Disney guy, but that was perfect.
I think so. Yeah, so that was mine. So if you guys have other ones, I'll let you go, but that's what I came up with.
That was a good one. That was one that I had thought about. I'm like, Slinky would make a great running back. Like, just you put him in there, he'll get through, and then if he gets through, he can just keep going. Yeah, that's a good one. I think the one that came to mind first, and I don't know if this counts because it's not a player, so I've got a backup, but lots of hugging the bear, the bad guy. That's Bill Belichick, right? Like, he's just one of those guys that everybody hates. He used to be good, but now he's a curmudgeon-y old, you know, he's just been through too much, you know, and he just he's just an old man. He doesn't care. And he's the bad guy. And I think Belichick is the prime bad guy in the NFL. So that was the first thought that came to head. But we were talking about Drake, and I looked up Toy Story characters. I'm like, what was the name? Forky is Drake. right? Like trash. Forky is like trash. That kind of like that trash that's been discarded that nobody wants, but then you can still make a toy out of him and he still shows up in your lineup. That's going to be Drake this year, to kind of tie that back in. Right. Like that's what I has like that. That's Kenyon Drake. Nobody likes him. He's trash, but he can still have some value. You can still make some money. You fun to have some fun toy with him. All right. Why not? That was the two that I had in mind. But no, that Slinky Dog's a good one, though.
Yeah. Man, that really
good. I like yours, too.
Thanks.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like the obvious ones where I feel like Buzz would be a quarterback.
Yeah.
But I mean, well, to be or Zerg, because he actually has a cannon for an arm.
Yeah, that's true.
So that would be pretty easy. I guess you have to have Etch as like a offensive coordinator, right? Because you just draw up plays. There you go. All right, keep it going.
You need like Ham as an offensive lineman.
That's exactly like, where I was going.
Sort of the kind of thing. Yeah.
The hog.
Yep. Yep.
Especially because at the end of Toy Story 1, he even like dive bombs on top of Woody as he's trying to get back into the truck. I mean, who else were we missing? Like Potato Head. There's nothing great there.
Bo Peep. I don't know. I feel like Woody would probably be a receiver, you know, long and dangly and, you know, really lean and able to get down the field and just complaining all the time, but doing his job. Like, that's a receiver, right? Like, that seems pretty obvious. I thought about
Slinky Dog if you wanted to use him as a receiver. Could you imagine him on the sidelines?
Oh, yeah. He'll always have his toes down, no matter how far out of bounds that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rocky wins this question clearly.
Man. He said he was going to do bad. He snowballed us on that one. That was well done.
He drilled us, right? Yeah. You know, that was a ninja move. All right. Well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. That was such a good question. Before we head out and before I do my spiel, Andrew, do yours. Remind everyone, I should say, because you did tell them already, who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Andrew Hall FF for fantasy football, and I'm writing for PFN, Pro Football Network, and then I'm also writing now for Fantasy Pros for some dynasty content in the offseason. I got some stuff coming out, like I said, next week, I think, is when the first two publish. One of them is going to be a rookie mock draft using their draft simulator, so I think that'll be kind of fun, where I have one pick and I kind of comment on the picks as they come in. At this time of year, before the draft, before you know landing spots, it's all kind of speculation on, well, if this goes, then this, but those are still kind of fun to read just to kind of help prepare you when the real draft happens. So I love mock drafts and kind of going through some of that just based on talent and then seeing if that changes. Then you can start to see, okay, well, I really like the talent of this guy. And like you said before, AJ Brown rule, right? You got to keep that in mind and say, well, if it's talent, I got to keep that in mind. And maybe I draft him in the second instead of the third and all of that. So yeah, you can see some of that coming out next week on Fantasy Pros. But yeah, other than that, I'm just on Twitter. Find me anywhere.
All right. Awesome. Okay. So our stuff. We've mentioned it a few times, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us as we record. And yes, last week you could have heard Sam curse. Today you would have seen my dog a couple of times, or me chasing after her after she ate something she's not supposed to, or me being super confused while she was fighting with a curtain. but also you can comment along and we can talk about the stuff you say. And more importantly, there's the Cool Kids Club, our awesome GroupMe chat, as I'm trying to stop the dog from eating my cords, where you can talk with a bunch of awesome people, sometimes about football, sometimes not. But there's any trade questions. There's so many good people in there to give you their opinions. Also, we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, our store to get all awesome stuff from Trade Addicts, all of the DAP Network shows, Timeline Junkies, Get Real, but also Superflex Super Show, Devi Marketplace, the maybe coming back Dynasty Diagnostic. So many awesome, the FF Intervention, the Dynasty Vipers, all of these awesome places. The best part of all this is every penny that comes in goes to charity. And for the rest of April, all money that comes in is going to No Kids Hungry. We actually have about $40 already ready to go to No Kids Hungry. So sorry, Rock, we're already beating what we gave out last month, I think. No, last 2 months was $48. So we need to sell a couple more shirts. Come on. We can't let Rocky win, guys.
You still got a whole month.
Yeah. And also I'm going to have to rebuy a bunch of stickers and t-shirts because A, I grew, and B, I got a new laptop. So, you know, I might just cheat a little bit. Last thing. What's the last thing? Oh, yeah, us. I still haven't had anyone record an outro, so I am Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. We are at Trade Addicts Pod on at DAP_network. Subscribe, rate, and review there to get all those awesome shows and let us know how awesome we are. We are also part of the DLF family of podcasts,
a super awesome mega stream where you can get so many damn good shows, including Dynasty Game Night, that I'm probably going to go upstairs and edit now, because we recorded one last week and I did zero editing over the weekend when I should have. I had like three shows to edit and I just didn't do it. So, you know, Dynasty Game Night coming out soon.
And you can get those DLF family gatherings where Peter Howard totally just takes everything over.
Oh, yes. One of those. I put it out today. My RSS isn't hooked up to their feed yet, but as soon as that is, you will get our rookie mock draft where Peter Howard just did not care when it was his turn or who he was taking when it was his turn. He just took the guy he liked. So, yeah, you will absolutely keep getting that because Peter is the one guy you know that will always show up for a certain amount of time. Yeah, there was an unexpected exit, we'll just say. That'll be a good teaser.
I saw that on I hope he's okay. I saw that on YouTube. I watched the video actually of it, and he's
okay,
just
I'm gonna completely ruin it.
In terror.
There was a thunderstorm near him and he froze where he was literally just like a scary like scene from a movie, like someone was out the window and he we're like, wait, are you messing with us or are you frozen? Okay, he can't be holding it this long. He's got to be frozen. Okay, let's just move on without him. But it was hilarious and terrifying at the same time. But yes, also subscribe to the DLF family of podcasts because that is the only place you can get those family gatherings. Also subscribe, rate, and review and all that fun stuff. I think that's all of it. Good night, Rocky. Night, Andrew.
Good night, Rex.
Good night, Andrew.
Oh, my God.